You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started.
One. What is going on, CEOs? De Niro B here with another episode of the Remote CEO Show. Today, I am here with Peter Tonton. Peter is a pioneer in the fitness industry. In 2003, he had a vision for Snap Fitness to create an affordable 24/7 results-driven gym. Now, today, there are over 1,000 Snap Fitness franchises in 25 countries, but he didn't stop there. In recent years, he has acquired and founded several other brands to round out the consumer fitness experience. And together with the Snap Fitness brand, they comprise one of the world's largest wellness franchise organization with over 6,000 locations across multiple brands. Now, Peter teaches and lives by his management philosophy. Success is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. So I couldn't agree more. Super excited. So without further ado, Peter, how are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. I'm happy to be here. It's my pleasure.
Awesome, awesome. First off, again, thank you very much for being here on the show today, Peter. When I read all these numbers, all these success stories, it really pumps me up. But I am super curious to know how you got started. So can you tell us a bit more about your early life?
Of course. And, you know, sometimes you just need your break and you have to recognize where your break is. And the interesting part for me, if you'd met me 35 years ago, I was the guy giving you a towel and a locker key at a gym. So I'm living proof that the American dream is alive and well. And for me, I was given an opportunity to turn around a failing health club in a management position. And the people that owned the facility, it was a club that was losing money every year, financially losing money. And they gave me a shot at trying to turn this gym around. And they said, look, we're going to pay you $16,000 a year, which is, I'm pretty sure that's poverty. We'll pay you $16,000 a year. But if you turn the business around, we'll let you buy us out with the profits. So you're talking about a bunch of individuals that own this business. They were tired of feeding it, throwing money into the business every year, which is the harsh reality of being an entrepreneur. Sometimes things don't work out. And they gave me that opportunity. And to be honest with you, I think that they probably thought it was a Hail Mary. You know, it was kind of their last ditch effort before closing the doors. And you can never underestimate the heart of a lion. So for me, all I needed was that opportunity. And I went into that business with no budget, no free cash, no excess capital at all. So I had to get really, really creative on how was I going to, first of all, clean the club up, number one. Number two, give the club a fresh look. So replace carpet, replace equipment, do these things on a slow, steady progression because we didn't have a budget to make these changes straight away. And I got creative through bartering. I remember one of the first businesses I went to was a carpet store. And I walked into the carpet store and I said, look, I need carpet, but I don't have any money. I have memberships. And I thought these guys were gonna throw me out of there. And I said, I'm happy to give all of your employees and their families a free membership to my club if you'll give me carpet. So I had to get innovative. And to my surprise, most of them said yes. Okay. And then, so when I started having carpet, I did the same thing with carpet, with electrical, with plumbing, with painters, nothing was off the table, plants inside the club, everything. And when I started to do the remodeling, I was very methodical on how I did it. I started at the front door because you never get a second chance for a first impression. So I wanted people to know I started in the lobby of the club and then worked my way out the back door. And it took me years to do, but in a very short period of time, the membership base there they started to be my biggest fans. All right. They were rooting for me because they saw this guy that was, you know, I was opening the club. I was closing the club. I was not afraid of a long day's work. I was not afraid of hard work. They knew I was passionate about it. I called them by name. I helped them reach their wellness goals, all the things that any of us as a consumer would expect. So before you know it, within 5 years, I took a club that was losing $200,000 a year, just cash flow, losing $200,000 a year. Within 5 years, the club was making $250,000 a year. So just do the math on that progression. And within 8-10 years, I was able to buy all the partners out of the business and I own the business. And then from there, I was off to the races.
Wow, this is super cool and super interesting. And just, you know, I know that a lot of entrepreneurs, I was watching other interviews of yours, and you started working very early at an early age, I believe, at your father's store or something. Is
yeah,
that correct?
8 years old. Yeah, and that's, you know what, I was 8 years old and I was selling popcorn at my father's grocery store, out in front of my dad's grocery store. And as I sit back and reflect today, I didn't think for a minute that some of the most precious nuggets of gold from the business perspective I was going to be learning at that little popcorn stand. All right. And so I'm forever grateful for that. And I remember one of the earliest lessons I ever learned was I was selling popcorn one day and my dad walks by my popcorn stand. He walked by about 40 feet. He stops, he pivots, he comes back to me and he says, "Hey son, how are sales?" And I was going to go into this dissertation of how sales were slow that day. And he stops me as I started to ramble. He stops me and he goes, "Son, your business is slow because you got to get out from behind that popcorn stand and ask people if they'd like popcorn." So I did exactly what he said. I got out from behind the stand and I would approach people as they would walk by my popcorn stand. I would pull on their sleeve and I would say, "Would you like some popcorn? I just popped it. It's fresh. You're going to love it." Right? I was selling it and my sales doubled. So the life lesson there is, hey, look, don't wait for things to come to you because they won't. Go get it. Go run it down. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, do you want to be a sheep or do you want to be a lion? And you got to be a lion. You got to be on the attack all the time. And it doesn't mean that you got to be aggressive, but from the sense of you got to be your own boss and your own king. You got to say, look, if I want to get ahead in life, I've got to go get it myself. Nobody's going to give it to me.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Great lesson.
For sure. And I know a lot of successful entrepreneurs and even athletes have that element of hard work from earlier life. Like, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger also had this element of hard work at his early stages. Now, not everyone has this type of upbringing. So for our listeners that didn't have this type of life at the very beginning, how do you think they can replicate this work ethic in their life to get them ready for entrepreneurship, for what building a business is going to bring them?
Well, I talk to many aspiring entrepreneurs and it's really, I love it. I love talking to entrepreneurs about what is their plan. And I can tell you, in just about every one of them, they have the passion. Okay, but passion is just like hope. Hope is not a business plan. So you gotta have things buttoned down. And in many cases, I walk people through a process and it starts with, tell me about your product. And most of the time when I'm consulting with people, I'm a good listener on the front end because I want to see where their head is at and where their heart is at. And I say, tell me about what it is you want to do. So you're either going to enhance an existing product or you're going to be an innovator and try to bring to market something new that's never been seen before. Now, the latter costs a hell of a lot more money and it's a hell of a lot more risk. So if you could take something that's existing and make it better, then that's probably a better path to go early on. So we talk about what is your product. Then we talk about what is your go-to-market strategy. What is your point of difference? Okay, because you have to, when you're starting a company, you have to thin yourself from the herd. That's a good thing. Don't run with the pack. Thin yourself from the herd and stand there on your own and say, look, this product is better than the other products, and here's why. And the other side of it that matters is if you're delivering a product to the consumer, don't be afraid to stand behind your product. I'm getting ready to launch a CBD oil company called Aloe Vera Wellness Products. My CBD company, I literally just quietly launched it 2 days ago. Okay. So I just quietly launched it, but my go-to-market strategy is, hey, look, I stand behind my product. My product has a 90% absorption rate. It's all organic, vegan, gluten-free. So all these things that make you want to take my product. But then I tell people, hey, look, statistically, I have a 90% reorder with my customers. So 9 out of 10 of my customers, they reorder, and they do that because they love the product. So I tell people, look, I'm going to take the risk away for you. If you order my product, if you don't love it, I'll give you your money back. Send me the product back. I'll give you your money back. No problem. No harm, no foul. So that's me standing on my soapbox saying, look, I'm different from everyone else because I stand behind my product. Mm. And my commitment is to continue to deliver high quality premium CBD products. That's my go-to-market strategy.
Very, very cool. Very interesting. Listen, I want to switch gears for a second. I want to talk about your days. So can you give us a snapshot of how your days looked like when you first got started and compare it to how your days look like now?
Sure. When I started my company, when I just started in the health and wellness space, you know, that first club that I went into, it was, I mean, honestly, I always say some days you go to work, you're a cruise director. Some days you're a firefighter. All right. And you never know what the day is going to bring. But early on in my wellness career, when I was trying to take that club and turn it around, I had to be I considered myself to be a firefighter. And I'll tell you why. I had very limited cash flow. So I had to really monitor my cash very closely. And even in times like today, where we're all dealing in this crisis with the C-19 crisis, I tell people today, look, the first thing you need to do is dial everything back to zero. So you need to, this goes for your business, it goes for your personal life as well. Dial everything back to zero and start doing an assessment and evaluation of every time you have an outflow of cash, okay? I don't care what it is, because there's want and needs. And I tell people, look, you've got to manage your cash like you're not going to have any more. We don't know how long this is going to go. It may be 90 days. So if you're sitting on $15,000 or $20,000 of cash, and your monthly burn rate is, call it $10,000 a month, there's certain things that you got to pull back on. Number one, are you paying rent? Are you making a house payment, a loan? You know, what are those things? Utilities, phone. I tell people, don't pay those things. Don't pay those things. Now, don't be like a turtle and pull back in your shell. Be progressive. Call your landlord and say, look, I'm in a tough situation here, and I've got to try to weather this storm. And if I don't weather this storm, if I'm not very calculated in how I weather this storm, I'm not going to come out the other side. So I need your help to get through this. Believe me, your landlord is fielding hundreds of calls like that from every tenant he has, and they will work with you. Okay. They're not going to give you free rent, but they're going to give you some reprieve so you can come out the other side. The same goes with your utilities. They're not going to cut your utilities. They're not going to cut your phone. They're not going to do those things. But the key is you have to be proactive. You have to reach out to them and say, look, I'm not trying to not pay you. My intent is not to never pay you. I'm trying to manage my cash here through a very, very difficult time. And that goes for your business. It goes for your personal life as well.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal, then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PhoenixDen at checkout, that is PHOENIXDEN for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode.
Makes sense. Listen, my podcast is all about delegating and scaling businesses while working remotely. So you went from starting a company from scratch to becoming the ultimate delegator by hiring a CEO for your company. So what advice do you have for someone that is starting out with delegation, but they're afraid to do that because they think they know best, right? You own your own business and you think you know everything better than everyone else.
That's a great question. It's a great question. And I think a lot of times, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if, as the founder CEO, if you think you're the smartest one in the room all the time. All right. So to me, I always looked at my role, regardless of what companies, and I've been involved with several companies and been on several boards. And my word of advice to people is, look, think of yourself as a casting director, that you're going to go out and your job is to find talent. And you can find very talented people. And now you need to cast them in the right role, all right? Because some people are going to be great at some things and not as good in the others, and vice versa. So casting people in the right roles, number one. And number two, when I grew my company, there came a point in time where I had to have additional resources. And what I was very successful at was creating systems and processes on how to grow my business. And I'll give you a perfect example of it. I created systems and processes when I was opening 5 stores a month. So 5 stores a month, I had people and everyone stayed in their lane and they focused on their job. And if they got outside of their lane, and I would sit down with my department heads, who I gave them the ability to make decisions. Now, I'm not talking about material decisions that could sink the ship. I'm talking about just day-to-day decisions. But if it was a material decision, that's something that I wanted them to come back and talk to me about, because that's my job. But these people making those choices are very, very important. And having people stay in their lane. So when I had 5 clubs, I had a process. 4 years later, I opened 377 stores in 1 year. Now think about that. The same systems and processes that I had to open 5 stores a month was the same systems and process I had to open a store every day. Every day I was opening a brand new store. I'm not talking about signing a lease. I'm talking about opening a club where members were coming in and buying memberships. All right. Now, here's a beautiful part. When you walked into my world headquarters, there was not people running around with their hair on fire. Everyone stayed in their lane, and it was like a Ferrari engine. It was finely tuned and everybody stayed in their lane, and we grew an empire, which is beautiful. I could not have done it by myself. I needed to hire great people that were passionate and committed to the vision.
That makes total sense. Listen, I know that sports, you know, played a big role in your life as an entrepreneur. And you played racquetball? Like that's what he's, yeah. Okay. So myself, you know, I can't function without properly working out at least once a day. So for our listeners that are still the type of people, you know, thinking I got to work all day long and then go to bed and repeat over and over again, can you tell us why you think it's actually important to maintain your fitness when you're running a business?
Absolutely. It's, and not just fitness, just balance. And it was balance. And in fact, I get asked that question all the time. Hey, Peter, do you have any regrets? Now, this is something that I get asked all the time. But when I was about 50 years old, I was asked, and I had a moment of pause, and I really thought about that. And I have the same answer every time. I say, look, my biggest regret is I wish I would have danced more. And I say that figuratively, that I wish I would have required more balance in my life. And I know why I didn't. It was out of fear, because I had no plan B. All right. So I ran my business almost from a position of paranoia, because if this thing failed, I had no plan B. There was no safety net. I'm not some little trust baby. I started with nothing. Okay. I started with an opportunity from a group of individuals that had confidence that I could potentially do something for them to get them out from under a club that was costing them a hell of a lot of money every year. So it worked out for me, but I wish that I had incorporated more balance like I have in my life today. Look, I'm fired up when it comes to building companies and helping entrepreneurs find their way, or helping entrepreneurs who feel stuck. And it's not just entrepreneurs, it's individual too. I talk to CEOs and CFOs of companies, and they call me and they say, Peter, I need to make a change. And I help them work through that process. Is change the right thing to do? So the bottom line is, on your journey, make damn sure that you stop and smell the roses along the way, that you spend time with your family or your significant other, because that's important, that you've got balance between exercise, which is a great way to blow off some steam. It's good for the head, that you're spending time with friends and family, and then the rest of your time you're focused on business. And make sure that the time within your business, that you're holding yourself accountable for good time management. Don't just show up on the desk at the office without intent. Every day you've got to wake up and say, look, here's some things that I want to get knocked down today. Every time I went into my business, and it didn't matter which company I was going into, I objectively had some things that I wanted to tackle that day.
Yeah, that's super true. So I was listening to one of the other interviews, and you were talking about gratitude, and you were talking about rituals. So can you tell us a bit more about a specific ritual or a set of things that you've done in your life that have brought you that peace of mind to run your business without, you know, burning out, basically?
Yeah, you know, today, I've sold, so with Lyft Brands, my company, I've sold it twice. So you think about where I've come from, and I reflect often about the days of me starting my very first day walking into that club as the manager of the club, making $16,000 a year. I think about that moment to where I am today, where I've grown one of the largest wellness empires in the world of health and wellness clubs. I've pulled north of $100 million out of my company. Private jets, yachts, $10 million lake homes, penthouse in Miami, Ferraris, Aston Martin, all the shit that we accumulate over time, okay? And I think about where have I come, and it was in my moment, it was in that where I was in my early 50s where I said, look, this is just accumulation of stuff. And I probably bought a lot of that stuff for my own insecurities. To be honest with you, it was my own little box that I could check, because when I started with nothing, I had the vision and this dream of how did I know that I had accomplished. So it was always almost self-rewarding. So I sit here today and I reflect back and I think, man, you know what? Yes, I have all those things and I don't apologize for them, but that doesn't define who I am. You know what? At the heart of who I am, I give thanks. You know, I'm a Christian, and I give thanks to, you know, what an amazing life that I've been given, you know, and what a blessing it's been given. So here I sit, I stepped down as the CEO, the founder and CEO of all my brands a year ago, January. And I said, how do I want to live the next 50 years of my life? And that really matters to me. So it's not about making money. In fact, all of the consulting that I do, 100% of what I do, I give to charity. So I give it all away. So for me, that's not it. And believe it or not, one of the things I love to do more than anything is one day a week, I get on my bike. I get on my bike and I've got this trailer that I bought on Amazon. I pull it behind my bike. I've got beat up old jeans and a t-shirt on, and I go to the local bakeries here in Miami, and I get cookies and muffins, and I buy a couple cases of water, and I ride my bike into the hood of Miami where the homeless are. And I get in there and I mix it up with them. I do it one day a week. And I realized a long time ago, about 7 months ago now, that the biggest gift, the hardest thing to give, giving money away is easy. The hardest thing to give away is your time. So I really pushed myself to say, no, Peter, you're not going to make an excuse today. You are going to go out there and you are going to shake hands and kiss babies with the homeless. You are going to provide hope. And when I roll up on them, I'm not coming up like some used car salesman. I'm very chill. And I pull up, I say, hey, would you like a cookie or a muffin? Want some water? And nobody's ever said no. And I hop off my bike and I sit on the curb with them and I just get to know them. And I'd ask them, hey, look, what happened, man? How did you get here? Right? And they're open about it. They're open about it. They want to talk about it. And I haven't met anyone who likes where they are, right? They want to get out. They just, out of circumstances, most of the time beyond their control, they ended up where they are. And so my heart goes out for those people. And I say a short prayer with them. And for me, I'm not one of those guys that where prayer just flows off my tongue. I just say, hey, look, I just say, hey God, please bless John and give, show him as much grace and support and take care of him like you've taken care of me in my life. And they love it. You know what? They love that connection. And I've made a lot of friends with the homeless population here in Miami.
That's
as a result,
super cool, super cool. You're so right. When you really just hit me like right now, and you said, you know, it's easy to give away money, especially with the type of wealth that you have accumulated. If you go somewhere and you give a grand to someone, like it you probably don't even notice, right? But half a day, even a couple of hours, that's actually time is the same for everyone. Super, super,
it.
Super
we all
true.
Get 24, right? You can't buy more, you can buy less. So I always say, you know, use them wisely. Make sure that you have balance. And for me, that's what I strive for. And even the CBD company with aloe vera wellness products, 10% of every retail purchase, 10% of every retail purchase, I donate to charity.
Wow.
So yeah, cool. I mean, so think about that. 10% of the top line. That's like giving away 30% of your profits.
Yeah,
it's like having a 30% partner in your business.
Yeah. Right. Super cool. Listen, I want to talk about your management style. You know, at the beginning I said, you know, I quoted you, success is 10%, what happens to you, 90%, how you react to it. So can you explain and expand on that? How can you instill this type of culture with such a big company?
You know what, it started for me. I was so blessed. And, you know, going back to the days when I was that young boy working with my father at his grocery store, and, you know, I started selling popcorn, but then eventually I graduated into working in the produce department, and I worked there throughout high school. And one of the things I got to notice, I had a front row seat of watching my father go to work every day, and he never put himself above any job. Here he is, he's the owner of the grocery store, and you would see him stocking shelves, you would see him working the cash register, carrying out groceries, and by doing those things, getting in the trenches with every one of his employees, he created such a loyalty with his employees because he never put himself above anything.
Mm.
And that's something that I did as well. So, you know, I've had just the great blessing of having so many people that have been so loyal to me over the years. And I always say, you know, I have about a dozen of them that I would take them to battle with me anywhere because they're so loyal. And even to this day, many of them call me and they say, hey, Peter, you know, if you're ever hiring, I would love to come back and you know, bring the band back together again. And I say, look, you know what, when I ever get to a point, because as I said, there's 10, 12 of those people that, you know, if a hand grenade came in the room, they'd dive on it for me. And that kind of loyalty you can't pay for. And that kind of loyalty, when you get that from people, you have to take care of them, right?
Yes.
It's my responsibility to take care of them. So it starts with creating loyalty and trust with your employees. And they got to know that you're going to go to bat for them when they're going through stuff. I mean, I've co-signed for homes for some of my employees because I know that they want that.
Wow.
And I know that they have great job security because I'm the guy that hires them. Right?
That's
so
true.
I feel like I have no risk. So I've done that. And I can tell you as an employer, find grace and, you know, find joy in vicariously experiencing what your employees do. I tell you what, I love it when I see one of my employees buy their first brand new car, or they get married, they have their first child, or they buy their first home. These are all stepping stones that people go through in their lives, right? And to be able to be so instrumental in that process for them, it brings me so much gratitude. And I'm so thankful to have had a front row seat to doing that for the last 30 years.
Wow. Super, super cool. This and the time thing you just told me about the, you know, riding your bike, those two things were just like enough. They blew my mind, both of them. That's super, super cool. Listen, let's talk about your future projects. I know you just mentioned the CBD company. I don't know, is that the one thing you're working for? What are you currently working on right now?
Well, my aloe vera wellness products is my core focus right now. But over the years, I've been able to diversify a lot. I planned for the day that I would step down as the CEO and founder. And so I have a lot of real estate. I own a lot of apartment buildings. So I've created recurring revenue for myself Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I own a luxury camp in the Serengeti. So the things that I do today are things that bring me joy. So I'm not going to do anything that doesn't bring me joy, because I've been in the trenches. I've been in the fire, and I've felt that pressure, and I am grateful for having experienced that. But today I'm at a different place in my life, and I'm never going to put myself in a position where I bet the farm and suddenly I'm back working because I have to. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in quietly getting involved with my companies, taking a stake in them and growing them. That's what is very, very rewarding for me. So I have a luxury camp in the Serengeti. I absolutely love it. I love nature. And one of my philanthropic charities is the fight against poaching. I'm in the music business. I have a 3-day music festival in Minneapolis every summer. Unfortunately, this summer we had to close it. We had shut it down, but next year we're back, and the artists, Carrie Underwood, Zach Brown, they've signed up for next year. It's going to be it's a great festival. It's called Twin Cities Summer Jam. And so those are things that I'm very diversified. I love everything that I'm doing right now, but I still find time for me, which is equally as important.
Super, super cool. Listen, I had an amazing chat with you, and I'm sure that my listeners want to read more about what you do, about all these topics that we talked about. So where can people find you online?
Yeah, thanks for asking. The place to find me is on my Instagram, which is just my name, Peter_Taunton, TAUNTON. So Peter_Taunton, and that you'll find me, and I do a number of posts, and then I share my little stories, you know, those little snippets. Watch that, because that most of my posts are geared around the business side of what I do or the philanthropic side of what I do. But if you watch my stories, that's me and how I find balance in my life. I mean, I do some quirky things like car karaoke, right? So I'm putting music on just some of my playlists. It's just, you know, shit that doesn't matter, but I find humor in it, and it's for my friends and followers, and you know, they get a kick out of it.
Awesome. Listen, Pierre, again, thank you so much for spending this half hour with us today, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show again in the future. But for now, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's my pleasure. Yes, thank you. Take care.
And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast, and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free 15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.